Good morning, Tom Brady. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Your thoughts about Peyton Manning, his record-breaking, history-making thing last night. And by the way, I did the math. You're only 138 touchdown passes behind.
It's pretty incredible. It's hard to throw. It's hard to throw touchdown passes, and he's done it even the last few years. I've never seen anything like it. So it's pretty incredible. It's a great record. It's incredibly hard to do, and he's been very durable. He's been very obviously consistent, beyond consistent. He's just a spectacular player.
How much of his excellence, how much of his performance is cerebrally based as opposed to strong arm, fast legs, all that sort of stuff? Is he, you know, a page ahead of everybody else when he's looking at a defense, for example?
Well, he's got great recognition, great instincts. Everything that you see, everything that you think you'd see, that's what he is. I've never been in a meeting room with him. I'm sure a lot of receivers have been, but he's really got great command. He's really a field general. I think that's probably the best description. I think that's kind of the thing that comes to mind when you think about him. He's got great command out there, he's been a great player for a long time. He was great at the Colts and obviously come to Denver, he's had an incredible run there. So it's been incredible to watch. He makes throwing four touchdown passes look so easy.
Right.
Which of course, as we know, it's not.
Hey, I know you've won MVPs and Super Bowls and all that, Tom, but I can't help but think that something Tony Dungy said has to be flattering for you. Dungy, a couple of weeks ago, was asked who's had a better career, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. This is Tony Dungy, and he said, quote, "It's all about getting the Super Bowls and winning, and Tom's been to five of them. Right now, I'd say Brady's definitely in the lead." He thinks you've had a better career than the guy we saw last night who was fated, celebrated by the whole world for his 508th touchdown pass.
Well, I think it's I'm sure Peyton, look, Peyton's had an incredible career. I've been very fortunate. To think that I would have the opportunity to do that when I was, starting out is crazy to think, and I'm still – a part of a great team that has a great opportunity to achieve even more. So you don't think about these things when you're a kid. Certainly I never did. And I think I've just been so fortunate over the years to, be on a great team, great teammates, and develop great relationships and friends, and certainly the winning, because I think, that's what sets our team apart from a lot of other teams is just – has been our ability to win on a consistent basis, year in, year out, no matter what the circumstances or situations are. So to be a part of an organization that's what we've been able to accomplish has been unbelievable. So I'm a lucky guy. And it's still going.
What if you were lucky from the beginning, Tom? What if your father was an NFL quarterback? What if you went first in the draft? What if you started all 4 years at Michigan? Would you be the quarterback you are today? Would you have had the career you are today if it just came a little easier?
I think there's I wouldn't change anything the way that my career has really been shaped, because I think it's helped me a lot. But I think there's a different set of challenges when you're, the starter for 4 years and the first pick and the high expectations. I think that's very challenging too. I don't think you can get this far and achieve, that amount of success in the NFL, without it being really hard. You just roll out of bed and, go out and play in the NFL and play really well consistently for a long period of time. It's a grinding. The sport's a grind. The season's a grind. The mental toughness it takes, really, and the commitment you need to make, for 12 months a year is different than, than even being really an above average player. So I think it's just, really for, I, I've I wouldn't change anything that I've ever done. I certainly wouldn't change, you know, my career with anybody. I've had, you know, to have the opportunity to play in 5 Super Bowls and to play in one for one organization is, you know, you can't envision those things. And like I said, it's still going. So it's, you know, I think hopefully the best is yet to come. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, accomplish and get better, and because really this season is the only one we have, the only thing we can control, and you know, to be sitting here 5-2 feels pretty good too. So, you know, we've had a good thing going.
Tom, it's Jerry Thornton. Do you talk to Peyton during the season?
You know, we exchange text messages from time to time.
Okay.
So, I sent him a congratulatory note last night, you know, just saying congratulations, 'cause I was sitting up there watching it, I wouldn't say we talk. I'd say we maybe exchange a few messages from time to time.
Okay, because the next time you talk to him, you can, you know, bolster his career with this, that if he plays 34 more years at his current pace, he'll match your record for a Super Bowl touchdown. You've got 9, he's got 3. You've had 2 picks, he's got 4 picks. So just send him that message from me, please.
I'll tell him.
Hey Tom, I know this isn't a morning to in any way impugn or denigrate what he did, but as best you can quantify or qualify this, how much of an advantage is there for a quarterback playing half your games in a controlled environment indoors?
Well, I think for I think controlled environments are like everything. There's positive, there's negatives. I think there's offensively, it's like anything. You know, if you play golf in a controlled environment, which most of those guys do, you're gonna have great scores. If you play golf and it's, you know, 20-mile-an-hour winds and rainy, it's, you know, the scores aren't going to be as good. But like everything, both teams playing it, and your competition is against your particular opponent. It's not against a statistic sheet. So, you know, I would say that the statistics, you know, in great conditions are typically going to be, I would say, on average, better, you know, than they would be if there was really inclement weather. But look what Favre's done. I mean, he was in Green Bay, which is also, you know, pretty – you know, tough weather, and there's probably only, you know, 5-8 places that I would say weather is a significant factor over the course of a season. We happen to play in one of them, but I think it's great for team football, which ultimately in a team sport and, you know, dealing with wins and losses and when you learn to play in those environments and under those conditions, it can be a great advantage to your team in the playoffs. So, and we've had a lot of those games where we've been, you know, I would say a lot of our playoff games over the years have been inclement weather. And because I think we've had the ability to practice and play in it, I think we're probably one of the best inclement weather teams ever to, you know, play. And so I think some of it is, maybe from a statistical standpoint, I'd say maybe it could be harder. Although I'd say this, when we play in the snow, you know, there was a game against Tennessee where we scored like 59 points. I mean, so I don't know. Obviously inclement weather doesn't hurt. I'm not sure it helps other than, you know, really team football, that's what ultimately it's all about.
All right, Tom, this is my final Manning related question. And I know you don't like to look ahead any further than the Chicago Bears coming in here, but looking at the big picture, do you believe that standing between you and the Patriots and another Super Bowl appearance, ultimately that roadblock, that speed bump, will be Peyton Manning in Denver?
Well, I don't know. It's a long way to go, and there's a lot of things that are going to happen here over the course of the next 2 months. You know, we got to be a team that makes improvements, gets better, puts ourselves in a great position when we have the opportunity, and, you know, they'll try to do the same thing too. They built their team. They got, you know, a lot of really good players. You know, mental toughness will take a toll. Injuries will take a toll. And how it shakes out, who knows? But it's still early. We're not even halfway through the season. You know, they got a great team, obviously. It would be hard not to think that they would, you know, win their division and you know, based on the way they play, win their division, have a great chance know, you know, they're going to be one of the favorite teams. But at the same time, that doesn't matter much either. So, you know, the teams that make the playoffs are the 12 best teams in the league. All 12 of those teams, as we've known, you know, through playing the New York Giants, whether you get for the first year, the sixth seed, which they've been the sixth seed and won the Super Bowl on a few occasions, mm-hmm. you know, you just got to, you know, once you're in, and then it's how you play. So, and then each of those games are really just one-game matchups, and you know, that's how they unfold. But, you know, you got to put yourself in a position to get there. You got to put the work in. You got to improve your team as best you can so you have the opportunity to, when you get to those moments, to really try to take advantage. And, you know, that's the process of the season that we're in now. We're grinding through it. We had 4 games in 18 days. We got off to a rough start. You know, we're at 5-2. We've got a big game against Chicago, and we got to try to take advantage of having playing at home. And you know, we had a great opportunity this weekend to let some of these bumps and bruises heal and to get ahead on Chicago. So, you know, this is when it really starts to feel like football season, and you start to see what you're all about.
Tom, did you watch TV yesterday? Did you watch the Red Zone? Or you watch the games on the network broadcast, or do you just watch coaches tape?
No, I watched some football yesterday.
All right. So the reason I ask is the Chicago Bears are fighting in the locker room after the game. Brandon Marshall's lashing out at everybody, including Cutler. Kyle Long's ripping the fans, and it seems to me like that is a dysfunctional team, but I'm not sure that means that they don't come out and play harder than ever. You saw a desperate team last Thursday give you all you could handle. We thought the Jets were dead, and we thought they were a mess, and they came out and almost knocked you off. Is it a good thing or bad thing that Chicago seems to be
pissed off?
Yeah, a little upset right now.
Yeah, well, I didn't see that part, Jerry. I didn't see the locker room stuff, or I know they lost. I saw the score. I didn't watch that particular game. You know, I watched the coach's tape today. But, you know, every team is going through different things, and you know, it's tough when you're losing. I don't think there's a lot of good things or positive things to say when you lose. So they've actually had a pretty tough home record, which I'm sure is tough on them and the home fans. And, I think they've lost all their games at home this year, and they lost their last home game last year. So, you know, they haven't been able to play well at home, but, you know, they're still a good team. They've still won a lot of games this year, so they're winning them on the road. So, you know, maybe we wish we played them at home, but they have they got a lot of good players, very talented team, talented guys on defense, you know, some great leaders that have been there over the years, and then offensively, I mean, those receivers, Forte, you know, the tight end, you know, Cutler's having a good year. So, you know, we'll get their best. We always seem to get everybody's best. It's just the way it is playing here. And I think what we got to do, and certainly what we didn't do last week, was we got ahead, but we didn't, you know, we got to get ahead, and we got to really, you know, keep, you know, piling it on. Kind of like what Denver did last night. I thought they did a great job. Once they got San Francisco down, they just piled it on. San Francisco had a little opportunity to come back last night. They scored late in the second quarter, going to half, and then Denver comes out, and there's 2 touchdowns to start the third quarter, and that's really the game. So, now when you get teams down, you got to figure out a way to really knock them out. And, you know, if we can hopefully get Chicago down, that's the mentality you have to have. But they got a good team. I've watched all their tape from a lot of it from last year, all of it from this year, and you know, they're one of the best teams in the NFC. So it's certainly not going to be an easy task.
Tom, and kind of a related question to Jerry's: 3 weeks ago, the national story was that you were mad. My theory was, yeah, you were mad because your team just got blown out in all three phases in Kansas City, but it wasn't. You're mad at your coach. You don't like your teammates. You know, you're disgruntled with the situation. I, my theory was that everyone was mad because you weren't playing well, and you were going to work hard and solve the problem. Can you confirm or deny that I was on the right track here?
Well, I think the I don't know where, you know, the one thing I can be really be responsible for is what I say, and not for really what other people may say or think or write, and that's okay for them to think that. I think as I said earlier in the conversation here, there's nothing positive to say when you lose. I mean, it's not like you come out and you say, we gave it all we could, but, we just couldn't get it done, or, that doesn't sound great, or, you're never going to criticize, you don't ever want to criticize your teammates. You don't really ever want to criticize yourself much other than say you can do a lot better. But, I think we were, a few weeks ago, there's not a lot of great things to say. And we had been dealing with that. We lost to Miami. We lost to KC. When you win, and fortunately we've been able to win, we've been able to, especially not to lose multiple games in a row, which we've been very fortunate to do over the years, to not have to deal with that. But there's a lot of teams, like I said, the Chicago, when you're dealing with losses, it's just, it can get pretty tough. So, for our situation, when we were 2-2, yeah, it's tough because we lost a big game on a Monday night. It didn't look good. We're playing some good teams coming up, and fortunately, we found a way to turn things around. That's what we need to continue to do. So, I think everybody's much more happy around Gillette Stadium when we're winning games, and I'm sure our fans are too. And we as individuals, that's what we try to do every day. We go in there with a sense of purpose and to try to go out there and put our best on the field. And when it's not our best, then we go reevaluate and we try to be at our best the next week.
Hey, Tom, Thursday night after the win, did Bill Belichick gather everybody around and say, see you Monday? Or have there been stadium responsibilities between Thursday and today?
We had some work to do Friday, and then we had a couple days where we didn't have to go in, and then we're back today. So it's this time of year, there's not much. It's actually great to just take a little bit of a breath, just because, like I said, we've had four games in 18 days. I wouldn't say it's a break. It's just a little bit to get your body a chance to just, you deal with little things all football players do, the bumps and bruises, and then to let a few of those heal feels pretty good.
Hey, it doesn't have anything to do with the Bears, and you already put them behind you, but when the Jets make a big deal like they made over the weekend for Percy Harvin, do you read about it? Do you try to figure it out? Does it make any sense to you?
Of course I read about it, and he's a phenomenal player. I mean, it's obviously a big trade. He's a very explosive player. So, there's always a reason why someone's traded, and we've had a lot of trades that work out on our end. Randy Moss and Corey Dillon and.
Right.
Some teams think, a player can be more effective in their system. But when that guy's healthy, he's an explosive player. We saw that, really his whole career, at Florida, cause I had a chance to see him at Florida a little bit. And then when he first got in the NFL, when he was playing for the Vikes and he played a lot of positions for them. And then, but he's an exceptional player. He's an exceptional player.
Tom, you and the Jets had kind of a kerfluffle on the field the other day. Fair to say that you didn't mind Jordan Devey picking up a 15-yard personal foul for sticking up for you?
Yeah, that was, you're right. I mean, that was, Jordan said to me right after, he's like, man, I wasn't going to let him, I saw you throw the ball and the guy shoved you, and he goes, I wasn't going to let him, get away with that. So that was, he's a great guy. Okay. And a great, has really stepped in and done a great job for us. So that was great to see. I wish the 15-yarder, we didn't get that because, we've had way too many penalties this year. I think we're got to be first or second in the league in penalties. So we got to try to figure out a way to eliminate penalties. But, being aggressive and playing to the echo of the whistle and protecting your teammates is always important in football.
Okay, well, the follow-up to that is some, whose names rhyme with Warren Sapp, suggested that you took a flop in that whole scrum.
When I first got hit?
I think you did. Did you get to your feet and then hit the deck again when there was, like, the pushing and shoving? I think that's specifically what Sapp was talking about. So did you flop? Were you trying to draw a penalty?
No, I wasn't trying to draw a penalty. I got hit the first when I got hit. I thought that they were throwing a penalty on the other guy.
Right.
That's where I really thought the penalty was. And then he said it was on our guy. I said, but this is the guy that hit me late. So, you know, I was actually a bit surprised.
Okay, I'll try not to let it destroy my faith in the integrity of Warren Sapp.
Yeah, right. No. Quarterback question of the week, Tom, brought to you by your New England Cadillac dealers. Visit newenglandcadillac.com for your exceptional offers. What's up with the sudden involvement and the embracing of social media by Tom Brady, in particular Facebook? Why have you jumped in with both feet, and do you have a Facebook guy who does this for you?
Well, yeah, it's I worked with you know, one of my great friends on it, who's really done a great job, and he's that's a pretty important thing to do today. And we've talked a lot about it over the years with social media, and really, I think the word would always be, well, the phrase would always be like controlling the message, and also, you know, have an opportunity to talk to your fans. So, you know, I'm a little bit old school in that I've never really approached, I think probably the younger generation of guys playing now are much more in tune with that. And, you know, I'm trying to do a better job of that certainly over the last 6 weeks. So
you haven't jumped in on Twitter though, correct?
No.
You should take a look. There's a fake Tom Brady who just says outrageous stuff that I think you probably get a yeah. kick out of. Fake Tom Brady. He says stuff you would never say, Tom. We'll just leave it at that.
I'll check it out.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, Tom. Thanks for the time.
Okay.